5 today as Joe Gonzalez here to talk about the cost of weddings and more as Valentine's Day is approaching. Richard Saunders, also known as the Great Imposter, single-handedly prosecuted a high-profile lawsuit against Donald J. Trump and an army of lawyers in a 2007 lawsuit while impersonating an attorney before the federal court in Boston. Richard Saunders spent quite a bit of time in court with Donald Trump. And Richard Saunders, welcome to the Bill Cunningham Show. Richard, how are you?
Oh, thank you very much.
Let's talk about the lawsuit. First of all, in 2007, what was the lawsuit about?
In regard to the television show The Apprentice, and I realized that that was a very different type of TV show and reality show, and because at the end of the show, when the cameras were off and the show was done, someone got a job with a $250,000 salary working for Donald Trump, that unlike other TV shows where casting rules apply and you have a lot of leeway in who gets on the show, there was a nuance here that possibly required them to follow all the type of laws that normal human resources departments follow, especially age discrimination and employment laws.
Right.
And every one of the finalists were under 40 years old, and the ADA states that you cannot have a preference for people under 40.
Uh-oh. And so when you were in court with Donald Trump, did you think at that time you might have been with the next president of the United States?
I knew there was an outside possibility that he would run. Of course, like everyone else back then, we didn't put his chances as high as we have them today. So that wasn't foremost in my mind, I'll say that.
All right. Now, do you think, I don't know, because we have the primaries are very much ongoing. If it's between Trump and Clinton or Bernie Sanders, how might Trump evolve into the next general election? Are you kind of a Trump guy or not a Trump guy now?
I'm not going to vote for him, but I'm not as afraid of him being president as a lot of people are. I think what happens is every politician goes out on the trail and they make promises that can't be kept. And once you're elected and you sit down, if you're a sane person, the sobering reality hits you, and I think you actually govern with more caution than you campaign.
You know, Richard, that's so right, because over the last several years, Republicans have been telling us, elect us, and we're going to shut down the southern border to illegal immigration. Elect us, we're not going to have deficit spending. Elect us, and we're going to do all these things with Obamacare. We're going to stop it. Elect us, and pro-life will be all over the country. So you elect Republicans, nothing happens. And then even a lot of progressives and liberal Democrats are very unhappy with Barack Hussein Obama, who went into office promising them all these changes, and he couldn't do most of the stuff that he's talking about. And Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, that they somehow want to excuse $1.2 trillion in student debt. They want to make college free. None of that stuff works in the real world, but the easily misled on the right or the left may think it's possible to have free college at no one's expense, that somehow we can wipe out $1 trillion in student debt and pay for college and universities. Where's that money going to come from? It can't come from the so-called evil rich, because they're already paying the great majority of taxes in this country. And if you tax somebody at 90%, that means they're not going to go forward and make any more money if the government takes 90% of what you make. Why would anybody work? And so politicians make promises that they know will not be fulfilled just to get in power. And then they keep telling us all the good things they're going to do in the future that they can't do. And they can't do half the stuff they promise us, right?
That's exactly right. Our forefathers were just so smart in giving us a government of checks and balances that things, you know, come back to the middle. They come back to what can be done rather than what pie in the sky wishes can be accomplished.
I mean, is there any way the Republicans in Congress are going to enact a 90% income tax? In the real world, is that ever going to happen?
No, it's not.
And how about $1 trillion in student debt, which is owed to the banks, guaranteed by the federal government? Are the Republicans ever going to say, you know what, let's just excuse $1 trillion, go and sin no more? Is that ever going to happen?
The The government will forgive $1 trillion to big corporations, but not the students that owe the money to the corporations.
No. And how about Donald Trump's promise to build a wall on the southern border, some 2,000 miles long, and make Mexico pay for it? Is that going to happen?
Boy, that's going to be interesting. That's like sort of the cornerstone of his campaign, and he's going to give it his best effort, I guess, and we'll see. You know, instead of a 12-foot-high wall, maybe he settles for a 2-foot knee wall. I think what will happen with that is the compromise will be more border guards, a little more border security, but a wall of China down there is pretty unlikely.
If they build it 12 feet high, they'll get ladders 14 feet high, no matter what it is.
Exactly.
But that's the cornerstone of Trump. So when you were in court with Donald Trump, can you tell us a little bit of the measure of the man?
I tell you, as we saw in The Apprentice, the vision we had of him was different before that. We saw that he's a person who listens, and he's a person that can change his mind, and he can react to reason. Both the Trump and Mark Burnett organizations during this case, I was very pleased to see the way they dealt with this and dealt with me. They were extremely reasonable, and you'll notice in the public record in this, and Trump's response to me suing him, it may be the only time where he didn't launch a vicious counterattack. Anybody says anything against him, or God forbid, takes him to court, every other time I've ever seen that, he launches a vicious counterattack. But what I did was reasonable, and I wasn't trying to extract too high a price from them, and I didn't try and benefit monetarily myself. And they respected that, and they negotiated in good faith. We ended up settling out of court, and I was just advocating for the protected class. I wasn't trying to enhance myself at all, and they respected that. And both the Trump and Burnett organizations, I have a lot of respect for how they handled the whole situation.
So essentially, the lawsuit you brought said that the Burnett organization, who produced the show, and Donald J. Trump violated the Americans with Disabilities Act, and therefore they only had certain people who could win, and they were in a protected class, an unprotected class. And if you were 45 or 50 or 65, you couldn't win The Apprentice, in which case that violated the ADA.
Yeah, exactly. It showed a consistent and persistent pattern of discrimination. And before you can go to federal court with that charge, they don't want the federal courts flooded with these kind of complaints. So you have to go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission first, which I did. And their Boston office did an investigation. They had subpoena power. They took records from the show and conducted some interviews. And they gave me the right to sue order. They said, okay, this has merit. It can proceed to federal court. And that gave me a 90-day window to really what we were trying to do is negotiate a settlement before this 90 days went up and keep this out of the media. But Trump's attorneys got so busy and the holidays came on us. We were working towards an amicable settlement, and then my 90-day period was starting to expire. So I didn't want to lose the leverage I had. It would disappear if I let that expire. So I had to file it in court. It exploded in the media, got international headlines. An AP story got picked up by almost every paper in the world, including the non-English-speaking world. And that complicated things, but in the end, we did get it settled.
Well, a lot of times when you're in a lawsuit with somebody, you come out with very ill feelings toward them. So this lawsuit you had against Donald J. Trump, here we are a few years later. Is there anything that happened in the lawsuit that would keep you from voting for him?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, part of my negotiation strategy was to be right up front to say, look, I'm not looking to really hurt you guys bad here because I didn't see any evil. What I saw was a mistake. What I saw was the show and the casting being held by the entertainment side and casting people. And normally they have what they call a BFOQ, bona fide occupational qualification, that you know, hiring an actor, you can have somebody fit the role.
Right.
So that's how they went about casting these 16 finalists for every season. So they were looking for young, good-looking, hot shots, and nobody caught on to the fact that, wait a minute, after this show's over, somebody wins an actual real job, and that we can't go by the procedures we use for every other reality show. So it was really Trump's lawyers missed that aspect. They should have cautioned him to include members of the protected class, and that would have protected him from this vulnerability that they opened up.
All right, Richard Saunders, we got to go. What is your website? If I can send people to your website, how do people get a hold of you to find out more of your writings?
SecretAgentMan.org. The book is Secret Agent Man, but it's hidden inside Journey, a Short Story by Michael Walsh.
Okay.
And on Twitter, I'm at R.F. Saunders.
S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S.
Yes.
Richard Saunders, good luck to you, and thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's continue. Before we take a break, let's you and I share some thoughts together.